Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
I've not seen them for about a year and you think, oh mate, you've grown. Not this change. And some changes are traumatic. They come in like a tsunami and they change the landscape completely. And I just feel in my heart there are folk in this room, including myself, that are experiencing change. And some of that change is great. We're seeing new family members or new relationships. And other changes, well, we're sort of saying, I could do without this, really. Can I just encourage you, as you walk with Jesus, as you walk with Christ and remain in His Word, and His Word remains in you, and that has been a bit of a theme lately, embrace change. Don't fear it. The early disciples were having a great time seeing Jesus doing wonderful miracles and hearing the things He taught. And then this tsunami came called Calvary when the whole landscape changed. But the whole purpose of that was when He rose again, they saw Him. Not in the way they knew Him in the flesh, but they knew Him after the Spirit. And God is doing things in you and me that we can't really see now. But we will see it. And that pain that we feel, that we associate with this change and this pressure, that discomfort we feel, whether it's physical or emotional or whatever, it's just the potter's thumbs in the clay. And He's shaping you. Count it all joy, James said. Count it all joy. Because it's heading to a deeper, stronger faith and a deeper, stronger relationship with your Saviour. Embrace change. Don't fear it. Walk into it with Jesus. Because He's the one that's in the business of making gold. Amen.
The reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 7 and 8. Then an entire week had passed from the time the Lord turned the water of the Nile into blood. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the Pharaoh once again and tell him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so they can worship me. If you refuse to listen carefully to this, I will send hordes of frogs across the entire land from one border to the other. The Nile River will swarm with them. They will come up into your bedrooms and on into your beds. Every home in Egypt will be filled with them. They will fill your ovens and your kneading bowls. You and the people will be overwhelmed by frogs. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron to point his shepherd's staff towards all the rivers, canals and marshes of Egypt, so that there will be frogs in every corner of the land. Aaron did so, and the frogs covered the whole land of Egypt. But the magicians were able to do the same thing with their secret arts. They too caused frogs to come up to the land. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and begged, plead with the Lord to take the frogs away from all my people. I will let the people go so they can sacrifice to the Lord. You set the time, Moses replied. Tell me what time to pray. For you and your officials and your people. I will pray that you and your houses will be rid of the frogs. Then only the frogs in the river Nile will remain. Do it tomorrow, Pharaoh said. All right, Moses replied. It will be as you have said. Then you will know no one is more powerful than the Lord our God. All the frogs will be destroyed except those in the river. So Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, and Moses pleaded with the Lord about the frogs he had sent. And the Lord did as Moses promised. The frogs in the houses, the courtyards, the fields, all died. They were piled into great heaps, and a terrible stench filled the land. But when Pharaoh saw the frogs were gone, he hardened his heart. He refused to listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had predicted. So the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron to strike the dust with his staff. The dust will turn into swarms of gnats throughout Israel, throughout Egypt." So Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. Then suddenly gnats infested the entire land, covering the Egyptians and their animals. All the dust in the land of Egypt turned into gnats. Pharaoh's magicians tried to do the same thing with their secret arts, but this time they had failed, and the gnats covered all the people and animals. "This is the finger of God," the magicians exclaimed to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh's heart remained hard and stubborn. He wouldn't listen to them, just as the Lord had predicted. Next, the Lord told Moses, "Get up early in the morning and meet Pharaoh as he goes down to the river. Say to him, 'This is what the Lord says. Let my people go so they will worship me. If you refuse, I will send swarms of flies throughout Egypt. Your homes will be filled with them and the ground will be covered with them. But it will be very different in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites live. No flies will be found there. Then you will know that I am the Lord that have power even in the heart of your own land. I will make a clear distinction between you, your people, and my people. This is a miraculous sign that will happen tomorrow.' And the Lord did just as he said. There were terrible swarms of flies in Pharaoh's palace and in the homes in Egypt. In Egypt, the whole country was thrown into chaos by the flies. Pharaoh hastily called for Moses and Aaron. 'All right, go ahead and sacrifice to your God,' he said. 'But do it here in this land. Don't go into the wilderness.' But Moses replied, 'That wouldn't do. The Egyptians would detest the sacrifices that we offer to the Lord our God. If we offer them here, they will see us, and they will be sure to stone us. We must take a 3-day trip into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, just as he commanded us.' 'All right, go ahead,' Pharaoh replied. 'I will let you go and offer sacrifices to the Lord your God in the wilderness, but don't go too far away. Now hurry and pray for me.' 'As soon as I go,' Moses said, 'I will ask the Lord to cause the swarms of flies to disappear from you and all your people. But I'm warning you, don't change your mind again and refuse to let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord.' So Moses left Pharaoh and asked the Lord to remove all the flies. And the Lord did, and they all disappeared. Not a single fly remained in the land, but Pharaoh hardened his heart again and refused to let the people go."
Good morning. Desk woke up. That's good. Hi. There's a fridge magnet at the back for you. If you like one of our new motto magnets, they're at the back. You didn't get one last week. That's really great. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing, John 15:5. So that's really, we need to pray. It's been a challenging week for many. A couple of folk lost dear folk to them. Dave Bailey lost his mum, and Donna, a dad. And Francis is in the hospital, Jenny's mum, Tom. So we need to pray. We serve a God who is able to come alongside in the most darkest situations and just really show us as the God of all comfort who he is even more in a deeper way. So we need to pray and ask that the Lord speaks to us through our time together now as we sit under his word. That's, we all sit under, me included, under his word. So shall we pray together? Lord, we come and we thank you for your word. We don't have to guess what it's like, who you're like, Lord. What we're like, we know that. We see it as a mirror into our own hearts so often. So we pray today you'll challenge us. Lord, that you would come, Holy Spirit, you were in the way you do this, and that you would challenge us, but also encourage us. You draw us closer to yourself. The whole passion and desire of the Godhead is that we come to that intimate place where we remain in you. Help us to journey towards you, Lord, from those distant, perhaps crowd-following places to those intimate places. Lord, we need you to be so close to many people, those who are ill, struggle with daily frailty and difficulties, be it mental or physical or other. And Lord, specifically this week, we ask that you'd be with Donna Jilks and David Bailey and the family, and equally the Owen household as Francis in hospital. Lord, we thank you for the lives of our parents, and Lord, they're precious, but Lord, we face these things from time to time. But thank you, Lord, you're our Heavenly Father, and as our Heavenly Father, you understand. We have a great High Priest who is able to empathize with us. And I just pray, Lord, that whatever it takes in all of these households of faith, that you would just incarnate, you'd get in the mix. They would sense you even in a more unusual way, a deep way. And Lord, I pray that you would use your servants to minister, to speak to those perhaps who can't see beyond this life, those who are asking questions, why? Might it be that you'd use your servants just to gently, as you prompt them, Holy Spirit, to give your truth that's so wonderful, that embraces and that draws us into yourself, Lord. So I pray, as the coming days and weeks go on, Lord, that you'd make opportunity, even in the darkest chapters of our lives, to know you better. Lord, I pray we won't pray these things away, like Pharaoh, just get rid of it. But Lord, perhaps we might see something more of you as we face these things. So be with us now. Speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. My name's Keith, by the way. It's great to see you if you're a visitor. And it's great to see you if you're not. We're restarting our considerations of this great book called Exodus, the second book in the Old Testament. Thank you for reading, Rosemary. That was it's a great chapter. I love this chapter. It's some places are quite funny in it. I mean, to be honest, I don't know why Pharaoh says he's got like thousands of frogs in his place, and he says, Moses, when do you want to get rid of them? He says, oh, I'll sleep with them tonight. Tomorrow's cool. I mean, yeah, come on. I'm sorry, but I mean, tomorrow's fine. Get rid of them now. Anyway, it's just a thought. Anyway, I just saw that and thought, that's really odd. Tomorrow, he's just a control freak. That's the problem with Pharaoh. You know, and I'm going to say, tomorrow. Let me have a think now. It's obvious you need them to go now. That's not the message, by the way. I just wanted to mention. Tomorrow. That was just really funny. A lot of people don't understand what this is all about. I speak to lots of people and they say, I've got to understand the whole Bible before I come to know and love Jesus or love God. And actually, the fridge magnet, in a sense, that verse on there, is the whole purpose of why we do this, is what the Lord wants each and every one of us to do. And as for us to do this together as well, is to get to that intimate place where we remain in him. Almost so it's an inseparable place, that whatever we do, We are in that beautiful place. We are journeying. And it's a frustrating journey. It's frustrating because things don't happen how we want them to. And we get setbacks and tragedies, like Frank mentioned earlier on, which can be used to draw us nearer. Or opposite. And it's a difficult thing. And it's not just a New Testament thing. Our whole series in Exodus is we're journeying with Moses and the people of God. We're journeying with them as they're called into relationship with the God of heaven. As they're called into that, but into that intimate place. He doesn't keep them as a kind of commodity at a distance. He calls them into this intimate place. And that's the journey that we we are going on through the book of Exodus. It's called becoming who we are. I find it's increasingly difficult to become who we are in Jesus, for example, if this is my only place. You'll see on the motto magnet, there's a kind of a phrase at the bottom, which is about come and see, come and follow, come and be with me, come and remain with me. And increasingly, what that does is it's a trajectory of journey that the Lord often wants us to journey on. We've seen this with Moses, didn't we? It's not a New Testament thing. Do you know when the bush was burning? Moses was in the wilderness. Sometimes we feel we're in the wilderness with God. And he saw this bush burning. And what did Moses say? Do you remember? I need to go and see what is happening, why this bush isn't consumed. God calls Moses to come and see, and then he calls him to follow and says, I've got a purpose for you. I want you to start seeing how I work. So it's not a New Testament thing, and as we journey with Moses, by the time we get to the mountain and thing, he's in this remain place, because when he comes back from the mountain, the people could see that he'd been with the Lord. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you want when you come away from here, or if you come in your own time in scripture, you go into work in the morning or whenever it is, and people go, wow. So the Lord is calling us into this remain space, and that's really important for us. And it wasn't easy for Moses up to now. We're on chapter 8. Do listen back online. But you'll know up to now that really, apart from chapter 7, up to that point, Moses was a reluctant follower. He heard the brief, but he wanted to stay. He was happy to come and see, but he didn't want to really do what God called him to do. And we've all got a calling, everyone. And so Moses, for the first, from chapter 3 through 6, was keeping God at a distance with all the excuses in the world. And so what I want to do today, even though I'm going back to Exodus, I'd like the motto to be our journey this year and ongoing. That how am I entering the more intimate spaces with Jesus? How does God call Moses and the people into the more intimate spaces from the come and see, come and follow, come and be with me, come and remain with me as my people? And you've got a purpose. And so God calls us into that. And you see, it's always been that way. Can you remember what God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 verse 12? He didn't say, well, I'm going to save you, and that's going to be fine. He actually says in Exodus 3:12, where was Moses' destination? He says, you will then come and worship me on this mountain. Your journeys always ever shall be toward me. You'll then come and remain in me. You will then come toward me. I'm going to save you. And we know the disaster of history. We know the disaster of history is the beautiful vision given to Abraham is that I'm going to bring a people out of your very loin, out of your very, and they're going to come, Abraham, even though you're ancient. I'm going to bring these people, and they're going to be a nation as a light to the Gentiles. I'm not just going to save a people from your body, Abraham. They're going to be a light to all nations. And we know the story, don't we? Because what happened is they got saved, then year after year after year, they celebrated their own salvation only. And we can do that still today. I can come to Jesus gloriously and celebrate my own salvation and forget the fact that I'm journeying. I am calling, because when I go into the vine, I'm going to ooze. I'm going to ooze this kingdom stuff. It's going to spill out, and I'm not going to have to work too hard because I'm in the vine. I'm always going to be a branch. I'm not a branch more in here than a branch out there. I'm a branch. And it's so easy. And so, just as Jesus said, I want you to come into this remaining space. God says, you're going to come, Moses, Exodus 3:12, and worship me. I am your destination from this come and see bush. Come and follow. Come and have a look. Come and see how I work in front of Pharaoh. Come and see how things happen. See how I am, my character, my power, what I can do. See my salvation, and then come and be intimate with me in that remain space. Is that? Can we see that journey? It's not a New Testament thing. It's not a fridge magnet thing only. And I love the way they do this. And what I want to do today is I want to give some alternatives because we don't, in a sense, have to do this. We can wriggle on the line like a really big fish. And I don't fish that often, but I have. And you get a big fish and it really puts up a fight. Anyone done that? Yeah, Frank, you fish, don't you? Charles, you've, yeah. A big fish, really. Yeah, was it that big, Charles, was it? The one that got away? But you see, where are we in this? Moses, I would suggest, is in this come and be with me stage with the Lord. He's seeing God at work, seeing what happens with God. He's just seen in chapter 7, if you didn't know, he's seen the first curse. Water being changed to blood. The Nile, all the life-giving streams being changed to blood. And now it's going to jump to frogs. You missed that one, never mind. I thought it would get a better. It's going to jump onto the frogs now. And then the gnats. What's really I found interesting is that, notice the magicians could copy what he did up to the frogs, but they couldn't reproduce the gnats. There's not a thing they could do about it. I'm going to keep going until you really lighten up a bit. And so the magicians couldn't reproduce this. But you see, what I saw, I don't want to just do, we could go into the whole detail of this passage about how every plague is the God of heaven demonstrating his power over the so-called gods of the Nile, etc., etc., etc. And you'd know a lot of stuff about how Exodus was written and things like that. Get a commentary and feel great about how much you know. I'm talking about remaining. I'm talking about real on the ground being in Jesus. Yeah? And this is what I want to do. And so what we see in Pharaoh's responses, I think we see the alternative to, I want a journey. I know I'm in this come and see space, and I want a journey, Lord. I really want to do this. I'm finding this so hard. I'm reluctant. I'm pushing back. But in Pharaoh's responses, we see so typical responses, which could be yours and mine, as we see in this section. And it's easy for us to forget that wider brief. Because you see, we're called from something, just like Moses and the people, to something, to him. See, we're called from sin, we celebrate, and death, and judgment, to being set apart, to forgiveness, to holiness, set apartness, but also to fruitfulness. Did you notice in that John 15 verse? And you will bear much fruit. You won't just celebrate your salvation every year or once a month. We have a from and to, just like Moses and the people had. They had this from and to. You will come and worship me. I'm going to bring you out, but you're going to come to me, intimacy. In fact, Paul uses this kind of picture to the Corinthians in his second letter. You know, he's getting all sorts of criticism. He says, but you know, you are like letters. What do letters have? A from and to. He says to the Corinthians, you're like a from and to. This is who you are to the Corinthians. See, a letter without a from, you get a letter, you didn't know it was from. You're like, who's that from? I sent a Christmas card to my brother-in-law once. It was a late one. I was in such a hurry, I actually didn't put anything in it. I sent him the card. They knew it was me because of the stamp on the... My sister rang me up and says, what are you doing? I'm like, what? She says, you didn't even put anything in his card. It's bad, I didn't know from or to him, mate, you know. It's terrible. He's forgiven me, just about. But you see, if you got a letter if it wasn't to someone, or to a group, or... So we are from and to. And Jesus calls us into that intimate place we said last week. Just listen to that. Where he wants to prune us to be fruitful letters. To be people who make an impact. And not simply who celebrate our personal salvation. And so here in Exodus... We see these different responses that I see, and I'll just pick several verses out today. We see, I kind of saw in one of the early responses to Pharaoh, like the emergency room response. You see, things are going from bad to worse for Pharaoh. It's really interesting. And it's going from bad to worse. And so Pharaoh's like, please stop now. These frogs are really too much. But what struck me before I even thought about Pharaoh's response was the striking difference, the sharp contrast between Moses and Pharaoh. They're both in Egypt. They're both in the midst of this terrible situation. It's difficult. Moses is not isolated in church. He's in the midst of this environment. But it's what strikes me is the difference between where Moses is at now. He started journeying from the bush, from the come and see place, into this more intimate space. And what's happening is, guess what? He's hearing from God. He's starting to hear from God more regularly. Even in the midst of chaos and millions of frogs, whatever, certainly hundreds of thousands probably didn't have time to do a survey, I wouldn't have thought. I mean, Pharaoh tries to pad out the conversation a bit. You missed that one. Never mind. But you see, what we see in this conversation is we see difference between where Moses is at with hearing God and Pharaoh as well. Before we even get to the emergency room response, in verse 1 it says, the Lord said to Moses. So there's this chaotic situation, thousands of frogs around you. I'd be looking at the frogs, I don't know about you. I'd be trying to deal with the frogs. But there's a massive situation, and it says in verse 1, the Lord said to Moses. In verse 5, then the Lord said to Moses. You see, Moses is in direct, regular communication. So whether it's good or bad or challenging, he is ready to listen and hear. Whatever the weather. Because he's journeying from this bush and conflict. I don't want to do it. I don't know. I'm not sure. Come and follow. He's now in a space where he's starting to regularly plug in. Remain. But you see, contrast this to verse 8. Pharaoh's gone off, frogs. Look at verse 8. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Do you know, I hear all sorts of echoes today from people in difficult circumstances who never access God's word, even if they're professing believers. Maybe the only time it's out, even not then, is here. All the time. People who say, I'm struggling to hear, and I understand that. The Lord gently, and this is why we need help this year, from people who do this and hear God's voice, to help other people. Let's not celebrate our own salvation. I want to help. We need people, an army of people to help people hear God. Because people often come to me and they say, this is a terrible situation, can you say one for me, Keith? Say one for me. I used to get that a lot with people at work who weren't believers. And it's course I'll pray. But God wants to hear you. He loves it when you pray. He's delighted when you pray. He's ecstatic when you pray. And it doesn't have to be great and good and platform-esque or whatever you call it. It can just be like that child that says, Dad, it's really tough. Or just silence and tears and heartfelt. But so often our response to God, rather than seeking the intimate space, because there's maybe things he might reveal in my heart, we just maybe like a fourth emergency service, like here at the beginning, Pharaoh, or just get rid of them. Pray Moses, just get rid of this problem right now. Whatever you feel about the Simpsons, Bart Simpson made a quote. He saw one of the people praying when they got frozen into the church. And he says, prayer, the last act of a desperate man. Often it might be, well, it should be the first for me. And God's people, let's bring it into scripture. What about Jonah? He's in chapter 2. He's been kicking and screaming. He's not only been in the come and see, I want you to do this with Nineveh. Come and follow, not in your life. No way. And he wasn't worried about it, by the way, in case you think that every time you're outside of God's will, you're worried and then turmoil. No, he wasn't. He was asleep. He had to wake him up. We can be asleep and really cool and think it's great and be outside of God's will. And in chapter 2 it says, and then he cried, I cried in my distress from the belly of the fish. In chapter 2, this is really quite bad, isn't it? The emergency room response just doesn't do verse 1 and 5, and then the Lord said to Moses, then the Lord said to Moses, then the Lord said to Moses, that's been, remain in me, come. I want to speak to you daily. I want to have that relationship with you. So the intimate place is not an emergency room. Second response we see here, the dig our heels in response. Well, of course, God keeps his word, the frogs disappear. Moses keeps his word and prays the next day. Pharaoh doesn't, of course. The problem's gone, so is the praying. Is that true? Problem's gone, things are good. I've seen that loads. People desperate, start seeing them in church, praying, then don't see them for months. What's wrong? Oh, that's it, I'm going great now. Oh yeah, moved house, got married. It's amazing. You're like, you see, God doesn't want to be an emergency room. He wants that intimate place. But the problem's gone, and so the Lord's in communication with Moses in verse 16. We see this here. Then the Lord said to Moses, you see, Moses is in that place. He's just hearing. It's beautiful. He's journeyed, kicking and screaming, didn't he? Just read 3 to 6. It wasn't an easy journey for Moses. Still isn't. There's going to be more. But you see, the Lord's in communication. So now in 17, the gnats are sent. And see, what's really crazy is that in 19, Pharaoh's own magicians even recognize God's hand in this situation. We can be so pig-headed, it can be obvious that it's God. Oh no, it's coincidence. Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure? Well, no, that was then, you know, and then time goes by and we just kind of rationalize the whole thing. We demystify it. We kind of revert to 19th century stuff where they wanted to demystify the whole Bible and say, well, you know, these miracles, you know, it's not going to be very compatible on the street, is it, if we start talking about things like that? Don't rationalize the God of heaven. He can't be contained, let alone this temple. And so even the old magicians recognize it in 19. They couldn't do the gnats thing, trick. And they say, this is the finger of God, Pharaoh. This is it. Pharaoh, look. This is serious. You might hate the frogs, but we really hate the frogs. You might have hated the gnats. We really hate the gnats. This is the finger of God. Just, you know. But Pharaoh's heart was hard, 19b, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. It's got the finger of God all over this. Maybe you found yourself in circumstances where the finger of God, the hand of God, whatever kind of anthropomorphism they call that, a kind of human term of God working, whatever term you use, there's something in your life and God is working, yet you refuse to acknowledge and bow the knee. It's this digging my heels in. I will not serve him. I'm not going to get intimate with God. He's my emergency room and that's cool. But now, no. Or maybe we've got a chip on our shoulder. We prayed for something, didn't happen, so he didn't show up. That's it. Anyone had that? God's not showing up. So I'm going to kind of be cool and kind of a bit passive-aggressive with God. He can't be. Because he looks at the heart. He can't be. He can be. No matter what this looks like. You see, some people I've met, gosh, I pray for so many people, not for thousands of frogs. But they deny the hand of God. And it was so obvious. And determined to get through Pharaoh's worldview. See, Pharaoh's worldview has been put in the blender. There's the God of the Nile. There's hundreds of them. Every single area has got a God. And God is going to deconstruct his worldview. Sometimes he's got to deconstruct us before we start listening. And that can be really tricky. But you know, it can only lead if we continually and continually flatly deny God's call on our life and challenge. It is hard when we're in that intimate place, because he says, what about this? We hear in the motto, he will prune you even when you're in a branch in the vine. Pruning's hard. But you will bear much fruit. Because you see, there's going to be a time, scripture tells us, don't believe me, when every knee shall bow on earth and under the earth and in heaven and say to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. So was the emergency room response, we're getting through well. Was the response that digs our heels in, Lord, I'm not going to come into that intimate place. But was the my terms response, okay, this is on my terms. I'm going to manage this. You see, it's tough for Pharaoh. Seeing people suffer. Maybe even his own popularity taking a dive. What are you doing about it, Pharaoh? Even his own magicians and advisors saying, can't you see this is the hand of God? What are you doing? And in verse 20 to 24, what happens? He denies again. So after the gnats, we get swarms of flies. See, it's one thing with these flies being in lots of people's houses, but they're in the palace now as well. If you read 20 to 24, they're in the palace. See, watching others struggle or suffer may gain our sympathy, but personal suffering often gets our attention. And I just wonder sometimes what we might have to go through ourselves. Before God gets our attention and says, I'm calling you to this intimate space because I am God and you are not. And I gave my son. What will it take for me and you to get our attention? To acknowledge there's one greater than me, myself and I. To acknowledge that I'm not actually in control because life's got a way, as Frank said earlier on, of pulling the rug. And everything, all of our bearings and things that we thought maybe we could rely on have gone. That's a positive thing if we allow it to be, if God uses it. Because maybe he just wants to reconstruct that platform in those intimate places. He wants to reconstruct that from the come and see distant place and calls us to be in that intimate space. And that's painful and hard. But you see, we can respond to God on my terms. Pharaoh does in verse 25. Go sacrifice to your God then. Okay, Moses, I give in. But here in Egypt. These are the terms. This is how it's going to work. I've got God in the box. That should do the trick. Get God off my back, hopefully. I'm ticking the boxes. I want him off my back. Can I tell you, honestly, from my life experience of disobedience, he loves you too much to get off your back. He loves you far too much. And he will pursue you with that everlasting love. And that pruning is going to really hurt. But the fruit that will come as we remain, get to that place, will be amazing. God will not be manipulated, Pharaoh. Okay, do this, Moses, but stay in the land, verse 25. Moses expresses cultural appreciation. It's quite a nice move by Moses. Your people won't like the kind of sacrifices that we Israelites do. It's going to be detestable. They'll want to kill us. But more importantly, what Moses does demonstrate, apart from cultural awareness, is allegiance obedience. Because what had God said? He hadn't said, Moses, I want you to sacrifice to me, you know, when you go to Egypt and go and make some sacrifices. He says, you will come and worship me on this mountain. We have got to go nearer to the God who loved and saved and loved us. We need to obey God rather than men as we stand up. The Lord has said, you shall come and worship me, not the other way round. You see, following Christ, he's brought Leslie and I, and I know many people in this room, maybe you, to places where we've had to let go of things we love deeply and places we love deeply. And even habits that we've got kind of fond of, but have been taking us down. Because he loves us too much to keep us in that place. And I might bravely stand and say, emergency room, help me, Lord. Or dig my heels in, well, no, I'll do it my way then if you're not going to listen. Or maybe say, well, okay, but this is how it's going to work. God doesn't. No. The detail matters to God. The final one. There are several. I just want to bring this one out. It's very similar to the last one, but often maybe we want to follow God on our, in the comfort zone response, what I've called. The comfort zone response. See, Pharaoh sees and hears the passion and the resolve in Moses' eyes. No. We have got to go. We are not staying easy to worship. We are going to worship. And that's powerful as we publicly declare. It was great to hear Sammy leading this morning. The passion and the power coming out. You can't argue with it when the Spirit of God's at work. I won't argue with you anyway, by the way, but. And Pharaoh has seen this in Moses. So in 28, Pharaoh said, I will let you go to offer sacrifices, listen for the compromise, to the Lord your God in the wilderness, but you must not go very far. Don't take this thing too seriously. This is enough, isn't it? It is, isn't it? Surely this is it, and just have maybe a quiet, you know, this quiet time thing, that language we use. This time when you sit on your own with the Bible and don't know what it means. It's a bit rude. We have the Spirit, don't we? But you know, is that what it is? I believe then Jesus says, I want it to have you to have life in abundance, John 10:10. I want you to come in from this bush thing where you go, oh, what's that about? What's that? To the challenge of, oh, no, I can't. What? To, wow, is that God at work with Pharaoh in Egypt, to this place on the mountain when I come and my face shines because I'm remaining in him. But you see, this comfort zone, I remember Rach. I think she bought Jace a t-shirt. I love your t-shirt you got. He's got a t-shirt on it. You know what it says on it? It's really good. Don't make me do stuff. I love that t-shirt. Don't make me do stuff. It's really cool. I was thinking of getting one actually for me. Birthday, Rachel. But outside of the joke of that, you know, Pharaoh says you must not go very far. Okay, go and journey if you must, but don't go very far. This following thing is okay. Don't go overboard. Don't let it overtake your life. Look, there's a balance. What do you mean Jesus wants to be involved in your work? What do you mean he wants to be involved with your neighbors, with your relationships, with everything? What do you mean? Surely it's just a religious thing that'll do. Excuse me. God calls us to that intimate space. And it's a journey of wrestling and heartache and awkward questions and difficulty. And that's why he puts us together like this. And I need all of those who themselves want to journey into those remain spaces to help lots of people in this room. I was speaking to a dear soul this week who said, I want the help in that area. Anybody want to help? Anybody want to help? Because that'll help me. You know, when I help, if I so-called help people, I probably make it worse. But when I help, I'm helped. I feel closer to Jesus when I'm with people talking about these things. So in 29 and 32, as we bring it down, things get better. Pharaoh reneges. And we know, because we've read chapter 11 and 12 and where this goes, It's going to take a real tragedy for Pharaoh to keep his part of the deal. And even then, he's going to pursue Moses afterwards and be judged. And his armies are going to be swallowed up because he thought he was bigger than the God of heaven. And he's not. And neither are you or I. But he loves you. And wants you. And wants to draw us all into that space. There's no substitute for being in that place. Come and see by all means. That's so good. Don't walk past the bush. Come and follow. That's, wow, hard. Come and be with me. See what I'm like. Go on. Just let me show that, says the Lord. Come and remain with me. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. As a branch on the floor, you'll wither and die. And that's sad. But there's no substitute for being in that intimate place, for developing an increasingly intimate place with God. One that seeks, one that allows the Lord to come into those awful ugly areas, to prune, to shape, to show us. Let's call it that remaining place, that room where there's a chair with your name on it, a comfy chair that the Lord wants to minister to you in. I like that, but it's going to be hard. So how are we doing? Maybe today you've got an emergency room faith. Cries out when things get bad. Or you're in flat denial, refusal to cooperate. Or faith on my terms, here in Egypt. This is how it's going to be. I control things, you see. Or maybe happy to follow. Actually, it's almost undetectable, this one. But as long as it does not go too far out of my comfort zone. See, Jesus would weep over his people who wouldn't come into that intimate place. In Luke 13, how often, said Jesus, how often I have longed to gather you. Gather you together as a hen. As a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you weren't willing. Are we willing today to come and trust him to do what's right and best for us, for his church? That when we come as people who are seeking and journeying, we celebrate our salvation with great joy, but also the fact that he's called us to help others find him and to follow him and to celebrate theirs too. We're going to sing a beautiful song, but I'm going to pray before we do that. It's called Oceans. You call me out across the water. The great unknown. If you're waiting for all the answers, we'll never start. The great mystery. But then the prayer says, Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me, please. Onto those waters. Where my faith is without those borders, not very far. Take me deeper into you, Lord. I want to do this. I want to journey. And if it's your heart's plea today to journey to that intimate place and you just do not have a clue and you're in that wilderness place or you're not even coming and following yet, don't leave here without praying or talking to someone. I'll be here at the front. Usual thing. If there are others who come and there's only one of me, praise God. If you see more than one person and you want to help someone pray, that would be really, really good. And if you lose that moment because you're shy, and you want to chat afterwards, then I'm not rushing out. There are other people too. Let's do this. But let me pray. Let's pray for us together. Shall we pray? Lord God, I just wriggle away. Lord, I repent of the times I've just used you like some emergency plumber or emergency service. Lord, I repent of the times when actually I've just ignored you. I just didn't want to cooperate because of the pain. Lord, I repent of the times when this is what's going to happen, Lord. This is what you've got to do for me. This is the test. Lord, I repent that I've been happy to stay in the come and see place. But life's too hard. The weeds are too high. I don't even know where to start. Lord, please come with your people, with your spirit. I want a journey. And I want to be with you. And I want people to look at me and know I've been with you, Lord. And know and see that transformation. Spirit of God, come. Lead me out now, please. And get the glory in and through my life and the life of this, your church. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.